grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on that doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear the pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Good morning. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This river crossed over, but never had a cent. I'd be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street. First Parish Jazz Band.
Good morning, and welcome to the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton, a welcoming Unitarian Universalist congregation. My name is Rochelle Reisberg, and I serve as co-chair of the Stewardship Committee, along with Bob Selling. As most of you know, our minister, Tom Roseolo, is on sabbatical, so the worship service today will be led by the Stewardship Committee, including Helen Jones and Ann Sadler. I must admit that I was a bit nervous about not having many folks here today, given the weather and the Super Bowl and the topic. we considered the possibility that we might be literally just preaching to the choir. But the Stewardship Committee is composed of a salty, spirited set of individuals who truly enjoy saying thank you. So let us start by saying thank you to all of you for being here this morning. The words for our call to worship this morning come from William Ellery Channing. Come to worship in spirit and in truth, that is intelligently, rationally, with clear judgment, with just and honorable conceptions of the infinite. Come to worship with the heart, as well as the intellect, with life, fervor, and zeal.
Good morning. So, as you can tell, I have a Patriot shirt on today. The only time of the year I really can wear a sweatshirt to church and feel okay about it. But I must say, I'm a fair weather fan, and I want to know, does anyone know what that means, if I'm a fair weather fan of the Patriots? I see adults, some adults. Any kids know what that means? Oh, well, I'm hearing someone say it's not acceptable to be a fair weather fan. A fair weather fan means that I really only support the Patriots when they're doing well. So when they started getting ready to go to the playoffs, I'm like, oh, yay, Patriots. Before that, I didn't really care. But now I really do, and I really want them to win. And in some way, our church is kind of like a team like that. Some people come to church every Sunday, and they are a solid fan. Other people are more like kind of fair weather fans of the church. And on this Sunday, it's when we ask you to like kind of make a commitment and become a real fan, a solid fan of the church. And I wanted to just have you take a couple minutes about thinking about ways you can give to the church. We talked a few years ago about giving of our time, our talents, and our treasures. So a lot of times in my role as RE director, people are, oh, I can't do anything for RE. I have no talent in that area. And I always dismiss that because everyone has some talents. And so I want you to take a minute right now and turn to someone around you and tell them about one or two talents that you have that you think, not that you could share with RE, but that you could share somewhere in the church. So have a conversation with someone near you about a talent that you think you could share with someone in the church or that you already do share in the church. And that goes for kids, too. Kids all have something they can share with the church. All right, and when you're done sharing those talents, come back to me. Now you're going to turn back to those same people. The other thing is time. We all have talents. The tricky part is how do we find the time to share those talents? So now turn back to the same people you were talking to and name one time that you think you could share that talent at church in some way. Go for it. All right. So here's my challenge to you. You have a talent. You just said you just found somewhere in the conversation, hopefully, a time that you think you could share that talent. Try to find time, that time, and create that time and make that time in the next few months to bring a talent that you have because you are all so invaluable. The last one is not something I'm going to ask you to share with anyone, but it's sharing your treasures, and that's the hardest one sometimes. When I joined the Framingham Church, which I used to go to before I became the DRE here, the minister, I had no idea. I went to a Catholic church. My parents gave those little envelopes every week. I didn't even know what that was about. I never even considered the fact that the church runs because people here pay money to the church, and if they didn't, the church wouldn't be in existence. I never, ever considered that till we joined and became members of Framingham, and the minister said, and how much would you like to pledge for the year? And I went, pledge? What is that? I had no idea. And at that point, we were really struggling, my partner and I, for money. We were saving for adoption, and we were buying a house, and we had so little. And so we looked at each other, Lynette and I, and we said, well, we think we can give $20 a month. And that is a pittance. It really is, compared to what some people can afford. But for us, that was what we could afford. And the minister there didn't miss a beat. She just said, okay, that's great, thank you. It wasn't until months later that I realized that most people gave a lot more money than that. But for us, that's what we could afford. And that's, I think, the main thing is you give the talents that you can give, you give the time that you can give, and you give the treasures that you can give in a way that feels right to you without any guilt. Because afterwards, we started feeling guilty. We're like, oh, we're only giving $250 a year, and there's other people giving $25,000 or $2,500 a year. And the minister was like, no, that's, you give what you can give. But more importantly to me is to also think about the other ways you can give through your time and your talents. And for kids in particular, there, a couple of years ago, we had some kids that brought in just their little bit of change every week. All those little bits of change add up. But the kids here can do a lot and give back a lot. So I'm hoping that all of you kids also had the conversation about what talents you can share in church. And that maybe as part of our RE classes, we can write some of those talents down and then move forward in our service projects that we're going to be doing in March and April and thinking about how we can share those talents. All right, thank you. And at this point, we're going to take the light of our chalice and by this lantern, carry it to our RE classes. And Ava Wisely is also going to light our lantern today.
My funny Valentine.
time. Sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile in my heart. Your looks are laughable.
Be a presentation by Ann Sadler. Now, this will be the first of three presentations this morning. Ann?
Good morning. I serve as a liaison between the Board of Trustees and the Stewardship Committee, so that's how I got roped into this morning. In April of 1988, we relocated from the UK and started a new chapter of our lives here in Stowe. We had two young children, aged 2 and 5, and I was planning to start church shopping in the fall, looking for a spiritual home for myself and some sort of a Sunday school program for my children. That summer, we spent a lot of time on the town beach in Stowe. And on the beach one day, I met a lady called Jane Epstein, and she suggested that I check out First Parish Church in Stowe, which I duly did, and I never looked any further. In England, I was brought up in the Congregational Church, which later merged with the Presbyterian Church to become the kind of scarily named United Reformed Church, which is a liberal Protestant church. And in Stowe, I found many similarities to my childhood church, not only in the physical plant, such as the layout of the church and the old blue carpet that we used to have here, but also in some of the worship traditions, and it felt a really comfortable place. My son started attending Sunday school, and when my daughter turned 5, she followed in his footsteps. I have to admit, it wasn't always the easiest task to get the kids to come, but I persevered. I met their teachers, and once a month I attended the children's worship service with them. And gradually, I got to know some of the wonderful folks who were running the RE program, and I witnessed the time and the energy that they invested in order to give my children a meaningful and a fun experience. Now, as many people know, my husband is not a regular churchgoer, and he was really happy to have his Sunday morning peace and quiet. But every now and again, I would persuade him to participate in something at the church. We took our children on several canoe trips, which in those days were on the Saco River. We attended a couple of family retreats at Grottenwood and had a wonderful time. And both of these events were planned and organized every year by volunteers. And over time, I began to realize and to appreciate that a whole bunch of folks at this church were doing a lot of things that my family and I were reaping the benefit of. And it occurred to me that even as a busy working mom, I ought to step up to the plate more and help out as I could. So I started in a small way with apple peeling. To be honest, it was only 4 Thursday nights in the fall, and it was a great excuse to leave all the bedtime chores to my husband and get away to spend the evening in some adult company. But it was a contribution of time that I could easily make, and it was certainly needed, as it still is every fall. After that came teaching in the RE program, which was hard work, but a real pleasure. As a teacher by profession, I wasn't daunted by the thought of doing this, but I was worried that I might make it seem too much like regular school. However, the sort of questions that arose from the students in these RE lessons were unlike anything I ever got asked in school. And I was free to explore ideas outside the box, not bound by MCAS curricula. I learned so much that it's an experience I've repeated many times over the years, including facilitating the last 3 OWL programs that FBC has been part of. For anyone that may not be familiar with the acronym, it stands for Our Whole Lives, and it is a lifespan curriculum, but I worked with grades 7 and 8, and I learned a whole lot doing that too. My experiences working in the RE program led me to agreeing to serve on the RE committee, which I did for many years until I felt we needed a break from each other. Committee work is not my favourite thing, but I did feel I could make a valuable contribution. But the retreat experience at Grottenwood encouraged me to step up and help organise subsequent retreats, which were held at Sargent Camp in Peterborough, New Hampshire. That committee was a whole lot of fun. After all, our task was to actually plan fun for the church families coming together in community. And when the retreats were revived again several years ago at Ferry Beach, I was so happy and have led several workshops at those retreats, and last year found me back on the retreat committee again. Over the span of the past 26 years, I've also sold books, raffle tickets and coffee at the church fair, helped the youth make a haunted house, led senior youth discussion groups, baked for memorial receptions and special coffee hours, led field trips to neighbouring churches, cemeteries and farms, facilitated small group ministry, served on several committees working on the future of our church, and last year I even got to MC the church auction. If this sounds like a long list and a lot of time, I guess it is. But my contributions pale in comparison to many other people's. However, on the flip side, I've also chosen to spend many hours joining classes and discussion groups where I've been on the receiving end of someone else's time. I spent 5 years being a participant in small group ministry before I volunteered to lead a group myself. I attended a week-long leadership development course on the Cape, which was an amazing experience, as was the training I received for the OWL program. In short, I started small, but I found that as I gave more of my time to help out in various ways, the more involved I became and the more at home I felt. It's so easy to say, I haven't got time to do X, Y, or Z. And sometimes that really is the case. But often it's a case of making time spent out helping at church in some capacity a priority over something else. And I guarantee that if you're able to do that, even in a small way, it could be the beginning of a meaningful lifelong connection with this community at the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton. Please consider giving of your time to help us be good stewards of this church so that it will continue to be a vibrant spiritual home for our children and our children's children. Thank you.
Helen Jones will make the second presentation of the morning.
I got invigorated. Today I'm going to share with you my UU journey. I explored how and why I now feel generous, grateful, and joyous feelings of equanimity and community here. I'll then remind you of our responsibility as stewards, all of us, for FPC and the UUA. My spiritual journey has been a long one, 63 years out of however many, beginning in high school with the LRY group. The journey's taken me to 7 different UU churches, Buffalo first, Niagara Falls, then Newark, Delaware, Nashville, Tennessee, St. Paul, Buffalo again, Concord, and finally here. That's 8 counting this. While married, we were transferred to Newark, Delaware, and then to Nashville. That's how I got there. We were active member supporters then of those churches. And as we raised our children there in all the UURE programs. So after divorce, my 3 children and I attended the St. Paul Church for their 2-hour program. I had found my way out of Nashville by accepting a fellowship at the University of Minnesota to become a medical librarian. So in St. Paul, my daughters learned to play the guitar because they had a 2-hour program. Adults had a forum, the kids had 2 hours of RE, and it was great. But I was grateful, but I couldn't pledge. So back to Buffalo for jobs, first with the regional medical program, then with the Carborundum Company, where I forged my way from corporate librarian into strategic planning and merger activities. Dangerous areas. Call it luck, serendipity, Heavenly Father. I set my sights on transfer by the Kennecott Copper Corporation to the Lexington Development Center. And I arrived finally here to live first in Acton, then to Concord, where the famous Dana Greeley was minister. Well then, the center closed in 2 years, and I was in the unemployment lines and couldn't pledge, however grateful I was for the Concord congregation. I had met Dana Greeley in his office asking for help and finding a job, but my only takeaway was remembering that book he had on the shelf behind him, The Courage to Be Creative. So, with courage and desperation, I launched Infomart of New England and ghost wrote some market reports and took on market analysis projects. So after 2 jobs as a market planner, came more layoffs and unemployment lines again. I was ready to duck into a safe harbor at the University of Lowell in 1986 as their health librarian. So I then began the free studies to continue my MBA and get a certificate in higher ed administration. I stayed on as a librarian just to be safe. Finally, I could afford to buy a house in Maynard. The Concord Church was too far away, and the Stowe Church just didn't appeal to me then, before Tom. So I taught skiing for a few years in the Wachusett Disabled Ski Program, but a broken jaw as a ski racer knocked some sensibility into my head. So I came back to First Parish, and I found I was drawn in by Tom's sermons and the vibrant, welcoming environment. And I remember there was a membership table right by the doorway and the name tag board, and I stayed pretty close to those 2 areas. Mistake, because they enlisted me in all kinds of activities right away. So I believe I've pledged every year since then, finally able. And I really do have those warm, fuzzy feelings that come from generosity. Now, how does gratitude lead to generosity? How does generosity lead to joy and equanimity? I went through this long process of what happened to me. A few years ago at the General Assembly, I attended a workshop called Neuroplasticity. Simple definition is that our brain really does change when we are generous, as it releases more of those feel-good hormones. When I told Tom I was retired, he said, "Boy, have we got work for you." I kind of said, huh? But he also often says, what you get out of First Parish is directly proportional to what you put into it. Okay. So today we're all stewards, especially those who became members and accepted the charge of the minister to support First Parish. As a member, we are also in covenant with the UUA as a member church to support the UUA. So while overall we are a congregation of abundance, we do understand how life circumstances may alter and dictate our financial commitments. Our 2015-16 budget will have a modest increase in order to maintain our enlarged building spaces. Although many of us enjoy abundance, FPC is not one of those congregations having an endowment that covers all their operating expenses. We only have about 4% from our endowment. Last year, only 66% of our member units made a formal pledge, and we had no response from 93 members. This is not good, as we estimate the costs are over $2,000 per member household. Of this, for each member, we are assessed $80 for UUA and our district dues. Our budgets are based largely on the anticipated pledge income. Please consider pledging your fair share of the budget, which supports all those programs and joyous feelings that you experience here. Remember, from you I receive, to you I give. Together we share, and from this we live. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. This is the final presentation this morning. It's going to be somewhat different from those that you've been hearing over the last few weeks about stewardship. It's a much more general approach to the subject, and it's based on a number of years' experience that I've had in other churches, in this church, and in working for the UUA in raising money for the denomination. I want to give you a brief description of some of the policies we follow in asking for financial support from our members and about our responsibilities as members of this unique and important religious organization. As Unitarian Universalists, most of us hold certain guiding principles. Freedom, reason, and tolerance, for example, are three that most of us would agree are important. We try to keep these principles before us despite our daily lives, where we live in a culture dominated by many values not in keeping with these. Despite the likelihood that we may never live to see a world dominated by these values, our tradition moves us to continue to be stewards concerned with the values key to have a world free of war, civil strife, and now likely to be to the very survival of life on this planet. We are entitled to celebrate this congregation's past and continued dedication and performance as concerned active stewards. Our best hope for continued and increased success is through the work being done within our congregation, other congregations, in our national and international associations, and through our UU service organizations. Financial resources are necessary for all of these organizations to operate effectively. We, it's you and me, are all responsible for providing some of these resources. It's important that each of these organizations to remind us regularly of this responsibility to support them. It is done in a number of ways. The UUA asks member churches to contribute to them based on their membership size. We have been a fair share contributing church to the UUA for about 30 years. Here in First Parish, we raise money locally for the needs of our church during the annual stewardship drive. Some of us have done this work for many years. It's a wonderful way to get to know most of the members and friends of the church. Trust me, this is not a recruitment pitch. But we do always have enough to do for another volunteer. When we do the work of planning and operating the annual stewardship drive for this church, we always keep before us the understanding that we are working within a religious organization. We strive to maintain focus on the quality of our exchange between people, not just on the money. But money is a primary objective, and we do ask for it. We try to ask everyone, though we don't expect everybody to be able to contribute. But we don't want anyone to feel diminished or unimportant because they are not asked. We are very fortunate here in First Parish because you are very generous. That's another good reason for celebration. Here's a stewardship story to illustrate this. Two men are stranded on a desert island, the standard desert island. After a plane wreck, one of them was very depressed, but he noticed that the other fellow seemed quite cheerful. He noticed that he was walking around, whistling, didn't seem at all concerned. So he approached him and he pointed out they were stranded. No one knew where they were, and the likelihood of someone finding them was very remote. The other man answered and said, "I'm not the least bit worried. FBC's stewardship drive starts Sunday. They'll find me." Oh, good, I got a laugh. That's an old, old joke. We all think and talk frequently indirectly about money. We complain about taxes. We complain about the cost of the things we buy. We complain about the cost of our services. And we like to brag about our cleverness in getting bargains or our occasionally successful investments, infrequent. But actually, money is basically intended just to be a symbol of equal and fair exchange. Unfortunately, money has come to represent power, and its accumulation is worshipped. Many financial exchanges are devalued because they represent the exploitation of other people, usually unseen and deliberately hidden. We recognize this, and as best we can, in a very small way, we are trying to eliminate the unfairness of the coffee trade. Think how badly you feel when you make an unwise investment or purchase or a bad purchase, for that matter. But contrast that feeling with the good feeling you get when you invest in this church. Now, briefly, some suggestions. Your own articulation of why Unitarian Universalism is important to you will help others to clarify why it is important to support it. We should always give thanks the generations of UUs before us paid to protect what we have inherited. They paid in money, in labor, and occasionally even with their lives. As Maya Angelou said, "We did not pay the price for our being here, someone else did." And if we expect to maintain our liberal religion for the future, we should not only appreciate the gifts from the past that we have inherited and to preserve them for the future, but we must also grow and prosper and find new ways to make the world a better, more humane place. First Parish is growing, and just by glancing around, you can see that it's improving in many ways. Let's keep up the momentum, and remember, we are all stewards of FPC. We are all stewards of Unitarian Universalism, and we are all stewards of the world. This is our final presentation for the day, and I'd like to take a quick moment to recognize and thank all of the staff of FPC who helped us so much. Thanks to Mike. Thank you, Mike. And Michelle Cote for our whiz with the kids. She really moves them, doesn't she? and, of course, Dee Dee Perkins. I want to also recognize all the members of the Stewardship Committee who assisted in unseen ways, and especially the members of the jazz band. Thank you so much. You are invited to an expanded coffee hour after the service in the hall, which is courtesy of the Stewardship Committee.